Today, our language commentator, Jeffrey Nunberg, addresses the question, what's in a name? It's a question that has perplexed great minds throughout the ages, but also raises some contemporary issues.
One of Plato's more obscure and curious dialogues is the Cratylus, which presents a discussion about the origins of language between Socrates and his friends Hermogenes and Cratylus. Hermogenes suggests that names are fixed entirely by arbitrary custom, that a horse could as well be called a man and vice versa. In response, Socrates suggests somewhat playfully that the original names of things were determined by the ancients that he calls the nomothetes, or roughly the name-givers. In the beginning, Socrates says, each thing was assigned a name that was appropriate to its essence. But over the course of time, names have been corrupted until they no longer bear any clear relation to the things they're attached to. In our fallen state, it is a mistake to suppose that we can learn anything about the nature of things by looking at their names. Philosophers have often disagreed about the meaning of this dialogue, but it's clear that Socrates' story about the origins of language was meant to be taken somewhat tongue-in-cheek. But then, Socrates could not have foreseen that his mythical nomothetes would emerge in the 20th century as the members of a highly lucrative profession. When a company is looking for a new name for itself or a product nowadays, it goes to a consulting firm that specializes in providing names that connote the appropriate image. If the corporation wants to suggest European sophistication, for example, the name consultants will throw together a bunch of foreign-sounding syllables. That's how we wind up with American-made products like Vervé shampoo and Häagen-Dazs ice cream. The new names don't really mean anything in any language on earth, but they do have the exotic charm that the marketing people are after. But the prevailing fashion in new product and corporate names is for the sort of words that linguists call blends, which are pasted together out of snippets of familiar words and suffixes. Thus, International Harvester is now called Navistar, and American Can is Primerica. The name givers have computer programs that can generate thousands of these new combinations in a few microseconds. When the company that owns United Airlines wanted a new corporate name, for example, the name consultants coined the name Allegis by blending allegiance with a vaguely scientific ending is, the idea being to make people think of the company as a kind of high-tech brotherhood. The stakes in this game are so high that no large corporation will choose a name for a new product without extensive consultation and test marketing. You can see the effects in the names of new car lines like Acura, Excel, iMark, and Lexus. If the name consultants had been around 60 years ago, you can bet that names like Plymouth and Dodge would never have made it out of the starting gate. Taken as sound alone, the new names have a hypnotic beauty. The stock listings in the Wall Street Journal nowadays have come to sound like a postmodern poem. Exxon, Unisys, Intellicorp, Genentech, Trinova, Syntex, Biogen, Phi Data. But as Plato noted, the name giver's work must eventually come undone. It's not that the names themselves will be corrupted, but that their connotations will be colored by the nature of the things they're attached to. On the basis of pure sonority, for example, I've always believed that the two most beautiful words in English were diarrhea and melanoma. But you'd have a hard time persuading a cosmetics company to use either of them for new skin cream. And even the most evocative new car name is likely to lose its glamour when the transmission starts to rearrange itself after a couple of thousand miles. As Plato put it in another dialogue, the Politicus, if you are on your guard against taking names too seriously, you will be richer in wisdom as you grow old.
Jeffrey Nunberg is a linguist associated with the Center for the Study of Language and Information at Stanford University.